Amen. All right, we are in 2 Thessalonians chapter number 1. Look down at your Bibles, verse number 1. It says, Paul and Silvanus and Timotheus, unto the church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace unto you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly, and the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure. And the title of the sermon this morning is Taking Advantage of Good Momentum. Taking Advantage of Good Momentum. Now, what is momentum? What does that word mean? Well, in physics, this is church, I'm not teaching a physics class, but I'm just going to define for you what this is. In physics, there's what's called impulse and momentum. Momentum is basically, in basic terms, is when you start gaining traction. It's that constant force that propels you in a direction that you want to go, right? For example, let me give you just a rough illustration. When a ball rolls down a hill, okay, it starts gaining what's called momentum, right? And the longer it's in that state, the faster it's going to go. And the faster it goes and the longer it stays in that state of momentum, the harder it is to stop it. You understand? So as a ball goes down a hill, it gathers momentum, the velocity increases and the force of gravity moves it down to the bottom of the hill. And it's hard to really stop that object when it has that much momentum. And that's for everything in life, right? The heavier the object, the faster it's moving, the more difficult it will be to stop it. This is known as impulse and momentum. Now you say, what does that have to do with what we just read? What does that have to do with the Christian life? Well, this applies to basically every area of life, but especially when it comes to the things of God, especially when it comes to a Christian, especially when it comes to the lifespan of a church. Momentum is very much an important aspect of our lives. Look at 2 Thessalonians verse 3, chapter 1, it says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. You see, we as Christians should be growing in our faith, right? But what we should desire is that it grows exceedingly. Not just grows from day to day, but we want it to grow exceedingly. Thank God when we grow. Thank God when we just take the necessary steps on a day-to-day basis, whether it's reading your Bible, it's praying, it's coming to church. But you know what? How much better? How much more greater when we actually start growing exceedingly? Amen. Okay? Look what it says, in the charity of every one of you, all toward each other aboundeth. So, here we see that the brothers in the church at Thessalonica, their love is growing. It's not just growing, it's abounding. What does that mean? Their faith is growing exceedingly. This is what spiritual momentum looks like. Go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, if you would, and look at verse number 8. I'm going to read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. It says, therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. You see, there's churches and there's Christians that grow. You know, there's Christians that maybe they do soul win a little bit, or maybe they read their Bible a little bit, but there are those who are always abounding in the work of the Lord. This is the above and beyond of that which is required. This is above and beyond what you would normally grow. This is abounding in the work of the Lord. Look at 1 Thessalonians 1:8. It says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord, not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. So this church in Thessalonica was not only influential in Macedonia, but also in Achaia. And everywhere their faith to Godward is spread abroad. So they weren't just subject to one location, right? Their faith, their influence, their work was actually spreading abroad everywhere. And this is before vehicles, this is before airplanes, this is before Facebook, this is before, you know, social media, whatever it may be. They're growing exceedingly. What does that mean? They got a lot of momentum in that church. And I think it's a church that actually took advantage of that momentum. They didn't just put it on cruise control. They're actually putting in the work, and they are growing exceedingly because of it. Go to Acts chapter number 5, if you would. Acts chapter number 5. Acts chapter number 5. Now look, this is applicable to a marriage. This is applicable to you growing as a Christian. And primarily what I'm focusing on today is it's applicable to our church. Why is that? Because Faithful Word Baptist Church of LA has good momentum. Amen. You know, and by the way, if that offended you, you're not going to like it in 2 weeks then, okay? Because that's actually when the name changes, all right? But we have good momentum, and we've had good momentum over the last 2 years. Let's use it. Look, once we go independent and we become autonomous, that's not a time to put it on cruise control. That's not a time to hit the brakes. That's not a time to let off the gas. That's the time to take advantage of the good momentum that we have. Amen. To do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. Amen? So we can grow, our faith can grow exceedingly, so we could abound in the work of the Lord. Amen? Look at Acts chapter 5, verse 41. It says, "And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. And daily in the temple and every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." So what do we see here? We see that the apostles were being persecuted for preaching the word of God, right? And when they departed from the presence of that council who was persecuting them, they just went about and they just kept doing what they were doing before, but they were doing a lot more of it. They were teaching and preaching Jesus Christ. Go to chapter 6 and verse number 1. It says, "And in those days," after the persecution, right? After they were going from house to house, "when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their wives were neglected in the daily ministration." So what happened in those days? The disciples multiplied. What does that mean? They took advantage of that momentum and they grew exceedingly because of it. You see, when you take advantage of good momentum, disciples multiply. People start growing. The church begins to grow. The soul winning, more is done through soul winning. Brothers and sisters in Christ, they start growing in their faith. You know, men become better husbands. Singles become holier, right? They become more responsible. They begin to grow exceedingly. They're taking advantage of the momentum there. Go to verse number 7 of Acts chapter 6. It says, "And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith." So what was the byproduct of that persecution and that determination to go through that persecution? The word of God increased. More people started hearing the word of God. More disciples multiplied in Jerusalem. A great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And look what it says in verse 8. "And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people." You see, when you take advantage of good momentum, great things are done. Abundantly above what you can ask or even think. "Well, I don't see myself really doing anything great," because you're not taking advantage of the good momentum we got. You know, this is not a church where you just want to remain static and stagnant and just, "I'm just going to go along with the crowd and not put in my work and not do my part." No, you need to be like Stephen and take advantage of everything that's going on and let that get you to the next level, spiritually speaking. Okay, go to Acts chapter 9. We have good momentum. Let's take advantage of it. Okay, this church is moving forward. Amen. The Christians here are moving forward. People are growing. And I can honestly, if I were to just sit down and observe and think about the people in our church from when they first came to church until now, there's a big difference. And I'm thankful for that. People have grown exceedingly in our church. And I'm thankful for that. Because it shows that we as a unit, we as a church, we have good momentum. But you know what? The individuals within this church have taken advantage of that. Okay? Look at Acts chapter 9, verse 26. "And when Saul was come to Jerusalem, he essayed to join himself to the disciples, but they were all afraid of him and believed not that he was a disciple. But Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, and he spake boldly in the name of the Lord Jesus and disputed against the Grecians, but they went about to slay him. Which when the brethren knew, they brought him down to Sisera and sent him forth to Tarsus. Then had the churches rest throughout all Judea and Galilee and Samaria and were edified and walking in the fear of the Lord and in the comfort of the Holy Ghost were multiplied." You see, Paul here, obviously he's still new to the Lord, but you know what? When you get someone who is new in the Lord and they're on fire for God, they kind of encourage others to kind of step up their game, right? You know, the old timers, whether it's old timers as far as age is concerned, or even old timers as far as just being in the Lord is concerned, when you see a brand new Christian walk into the church, they get involved in soul winning, they start cleaning up their life, you know what that does to the old timers? Man, you know, I guess I'm a little cold in the Lord then. I need to start ramping up my Christian life. I need to start doing some soul winning. I need to start cleaning up my life because this guy is like passing me up. He's lapping me is what he's doing. And you know what? Paul lapped all the apostles, right? Did he not lap all the apostles? Wasn't he one born out of due time, yet the grace of God was upon him, and he was able to do exceedingly abundantly above even what they could do because of the grace of God that was with him? And you know what? I want to keep reaching new Christians, amen? I'm for reaching second generation, third generation. If they want to get on the program and come to church and get with the program, amen to that. But you know what I like? I like a clean slate. A Christian with a clean slate who's just zealous for the things of God, you can preach them the word of God, and it can't be too hot for them. Amen. They take it, they love it, they grow exceedingly because of it, and you know what happens? The churches, the disciples, they multiply. Amen. That's what we want. Yeah. We never want to be this church where it's just us four and no more. Right? You know, we never want to be a church that if someone comes here and they're a pre-tribber, you know what I mean? Maybe they're a second generation Christian, but they're new to this kind of church. Then we just say, well, you have to fall in line to exactly how we are. And if you're not, you're not right with God. They're going to learn that pre-trib is nonsense. They're going to learn about the Jews. They're going to learn about the reprobate doctrine. But you know what? Once they grasp those concepts and other concepts of just Christian growth, we're going to grow exceedingly. And that was the problem with the old IFB, if you think about it. You have to be in lockstep with who they were. Everything had to be in lockstep. You had to be exactly like them. And that's why many of those churches, not all of them, many of them are dying. You know why? Because they lost momentum. They didn't take advantage of the momentum they had. You're like, oh, hold on a sec. I know old IB churches are like 1,000 people. Yeah, but you know what? They've been 1,000 people for a long time. They stayed like that for a long time. And you know what? Some of them are 800, and don't let the number confuse you, because just because you're 800 and just because you have a name that you're living, you're probably still dead. Right? Because most of these churches, they run 800 or whatever, 900. But what they do is they stop soul winning. They stop taking advantage of the momentum, and they just implement all kinds of programs that take their focus away from soul winning and takes their focus away from the Great Commission, away from discipling members, away from the preaching. So it just looks like that church is busy, right? But they're busy doing a whole lot of nothing. They're in their car and they think they're going forward, but they actually have the car in park and they're just revving the car. It's like, the engine sounds great. But you're not going anywhere. Right. We never want to be the Christians who rev their engines, flex that engine, but you're not going anywhere. You're just stagnant. You're just showing off how great of an engine you have. And by the way, if someone has like a race car here, you know, I don't know, so no one told me that you did. We don't want to just rev our engines, spiritually speaking. We want to, look, if we're revving our engine, it's to clear it up, right? And as soon as you clear up the, what is it, Marcos? What am I talking about here? Where's he at? He knows what I'm talking about. Where is he? He hid right now. He got offended. Oh. What are we trying to clear when we rev it? The gaskets? What? Injectors. Whatever. Once you rev it, you put that thing in drive. Amen. And you haul some rear end to get to where you need to be. Churches today are just revving the gas. They're just showing off their engine, but they're not going anywhere. And in fact, these churches have a really nice looking car, don't they? They have a fancy schmancy looking car with nice paint. Everything is just beautiful, you know, on the outside. Hey, a car is meant to get me from point A to point B. Amen. That's what it's meant to do. And look, if your car is fast, amen, that means you get to your destination faster. So we see here that the Apostle Paul, when he came, he through him a lot was done, was it not? You know, these old apostles, they were stuck in Jerusalem doing, you know, trying to reach the Jews, whereas you have the Apostle Paul mainly focusing on the Gentiles and actually growing churches because of it. Go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. Can I get a drink of water? Can someone bring me a cup of water, please? Acts chapter 12, verse 21 says, "And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration unto them. And the people gave a shout, saying, it is the voice of a God and not of man. And immediately the angel of the Lord smote him, because he gave not God the glory, and he was eaten of worms and gave up the ghost. But the word of God grew and multiplied. And Barnabas and Saul returned from Jerusalem," thank you, "when they had fulfilled their ministry, and took with them John, whose surname was Mark." Now we see here that after God smites this wicked person, the word of God grows and it multiplies. In like manner, you know, when we begin to cast down imaginations and we begin to destroy false ideologies, and we do our part to call out the names, we do our part to expose false doctrine, the word of God will multiply and it'll grow because of it. Amen. Paul said, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus." Hey, so the main aspect of the sermon is this. Our church has momentum and we need to take advantage of that. And I'm going to talk about how it is we can maintain momentum. I'm going to show you how momentum starts, but we've already started. Amen. The momentum is there. Yep. We got to show how we can maintain it, how we can reach higher ground. Hey, I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still pressing on as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant me on higher ground. Amen. We want to keep going higher and higher and higher. Well, you know, I just like the little church feeling, though. You know, just I like it's cozy. We all know each other. Small dreams move no man's soul.
Yep. Right.
Small dreams move no man's soul. Well, I came from a big church and it just wasn't, you know, I just didn't like it. Yeah, but you know what? This is a different kind of a church, though.
Amen.
You're gonna like it.
Amen.
You'll like it.
Good.
Okay. Just trust me. Momentum is when a family, an individual, and a church begin to gain good traction towards success. Being a better spouse.
Amen.
We ought to desire that, amen?
Amen?
We come to church to become better Christians, and part of being a better Christian is being a better spouse.
Amen, right?
Yes, it's learning doctrine. Yes, it's learning how to soul win, but it's being a better spouse.
Amen.
Hey, it's bringing your spouse to church.
Amen. Amen.
Oh, man, but that means I got to be a leader or something.
Yeah.
You got it. You got good momentum on that thought. Run with that momentum. You know, winning people to Christ, we want to take advantage of the good momentum when it comes to winning people to Christ. We've seen approximately over 2,500 souls saved.
Amen.
Since we started the church.
Wow.
You know, let's multiply that.
Amen.
Make that grow. So how are we going to do that? Through the teams. And look, don't despise the team, the implementation of these teams. Well, I just do my own thing, and I know how to sow in. I don't need no one teaching me how to go sow in. Then you go sow winning, and when you raise your hand for salvations, I'll act like I count your number. Oh, how can you do that? Well, how do I know that you're doing it right?
Good.
Right?
Right?
Yeah.
Unless you're on a team, or a team leader observes your sow in and says, well, this guy's legit.
Yeah.
He knows how to sow in. Oh, I don't like that control. Well, you know, you have to have control if you want to be effective in our gospel presentation and winning people to Christ. I don't think this is an unwise thing to do. I think this is a very wise thing. Glenn is an example of that.
Amen.
We want more people, more teams, amen? But to get more teams, we need more people to step it up to the plate and actually be willing to take in some criticism. And no one likes to be criticized, right? Like, well, no, this is the way I've always done it. Then if you're successful, then you wouldn't have a problem with someone observing your soul winning.
That's good, man. That's good.
I don't have, you can watch me soul win anytime you want. If you want to say, hey, I want to observe your soul winning, let's do it.
Amen.
I'm not ashamed of my soul winning presentation. And look, if you have a way to make it better, amen, because I want to be a better soul winner. That's the kind of attitude we need to have as a church. And I don't know of anybody who's like bucked the system or anything like that. But this is preventative, amen.
Amen.
growing the church. We have good momentum. Let's continue to grow the church. Now, I don't know how we're going to do it in here. You know, we'll put people outside. Or, I don't know. We'll figure something out. We'll make it happen. Amen. Doing great exploits, one exploit at a time. Hey, the velocity begins to increase. Why is spiritual momentum important? Well, it's important because the more momentum we have as a church, the harder it is to stop us. The more momentum and velocity, spiritual velocity that we have, the more harder it will be to actually try to stop us. So our enemies, Satan, the world, the flesh, whoever it is out there, they can try to stop us, but they better try to do it quick. Because the longer you allow us to exist, the harder it is, it's going to be to actually stop us. Because the momentum only increases the longer we're in motion. The more momentum we have as a church, the more we will abound, the more we will increase, the more souls we will see saved, the more Christians will be discipled. We need Christians to be discipled, amen? And train, the more ground we can cover. Hey, we're going to San Bernardino next Saturday. Amen. If you want to go soul winning with us. You know, that might bring out some more soul winners on a Saturday, amen? Amen? We're going to San Bernardino. We're paying the bill. We're driving out there. We're eating lunch out there. We're going to do some. Is it a mega marathon? No, it's just soul winning. Amen. We're covering more ground, okay? The more you will grow as an individual, and the more momentum, the harder it is, like I mentioned, to stop us. Well, this kind of sounds like burnout, Brother Mejia. Sounds like you're trying to burn us out. No, burnout is when one person is doing all the work. That's how you get burnout. But when every individual does their part, it creates this momentum, and every individual within the organization benefits from that momentum. Okay? FWBCLA has good momentum right now. We need to take advantage of it. Now, go with me if you would to go to Acts chapter 4 if you would. Acts chapter 4. How does momentum get started? Well, obviously it gets started when an outside force begins to move a specific object, right? And if you think about it, as I assess our church and how we got this good momentum, there's a lot of factors. There's many of them. Obviously, FWBC Tempe played a large part, a role, in helping us gain momentum. But you know what? We have to do our part too, though. Because if Pastor Anderson invested all that time and money into our church, you know, we're just like, oh, we'll just put it on cruise control. That wouldn't help anything. I believe the momentum of our church was due to three elements. Persecution, visible results, and unapologetic Bible preaching.
Amen.
This church was basically built on persecution.
Right.
Persecution for me, persecution towards you, persecution towards people who didn't like people in our movement. And we banded together, the motley crew, amen?
Amen.
David's mighty men, Jesus' mighty men banded together. And we had this fighting spirit. It's just like, man, we're getting it from every side. We need to plow through this. We need to do a great work. We need to make sure that we're doing God's work. We need God's favor. And persecution united us. But you know what also caused that momentum, other than the persecution? Visible results. What does that mean? Talk the talk, but we walk the walk as well. Souls are being saved. They were being saved and they're still getting saved. Soul winning is implemented here. A lot is still being done here. People are growing, and guess what? It's a visible result. You can add, it's a tangible thing you can see where people are getting saved. Hey, people are getting baptized. We see a lot of baptisms. Oh man, it sounds like you're boasting of the church. No, you know, it's God obviously who's doing it through us. But we're not going to do all these baptisms and say we've never done baptism. Oh, you know, just every once in a while, you know, just once a year. No, we're seeing baptisms quite often. Thankful for that. Discipleship. We see the results. The new group. That's a result of the visible results that we see at our church of the work that's being done. Unapologetic, distinct Bible preaching. Amen?
Amen.
What does that mean? Hard preaching.
Amen.
That's what's causing a lot of momentum. That's why there's a lot of young people in our church. That's why there's a lot of, from the demographic of 25 to 35 years of age in our church. They're sick and tired of the weak preaching out there. They're sick and tired of the cotton candy, tofu, 99 cent Jack Taco preaching. They're like, can we get a steak? Can we get some mashed potatoes and some steamed vegetables? No one said amen on that part. That's good. You know, can we get an actual meal here? And look, I said it before, and I'll say it again. I'm not the best cook, but you know what? I'm the best cook in this place. In these cities right here. You know, I'm not the best chef, and I'm not the best griller of steaks. But you know what? No one else is grilling steaks. Like, oh, man, are you boasting? No, I'm using a good cookbook here. If you use the directions in the cookbook, you'll make yourself a good meal. Amen. But here's the thing. Pastors today are not using the cookbook. They're going through the drive-thru. Yeah. Right. Dang. They're not even doing the microwave. They're going through Jack in the Box drive-thru. And just quickly just, you know, getting some recycled meat, plastic meat or whatever, into the stomachs, spiritual stomachs of their people. And they wonder why their church members are so sick. They're malnourished. They don't know any Bible. For me, it's like, take the steak, man. Protein, it's good. Eat the salmon. Eat the cauliflower. Eat the spinach. Eat the cabbage. It's good for preventing cancer, amen? So we have things that taste good, but we also have things that don't taste good, but you know what? They're good for you. Whereas drive-thru food, never good for you. No matter how good it tastes or how bad it tastes, it's still not good for you. At least you know the things that may not taste good, they're still good for you. These are the things that have caused the momentum in our church. I'm going to read to you from 2 Corinthians 1. You don't have to turn there. So I mentioned persecution. The Bible says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 2, how then in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded unto the riches of their liberality. Verse 6 says, therefore, as ye abound in everything, in faith and utterance and knowledge, and in all diligence and in your love to us, see that ye abound in this grace also. So what is the pattern that we see in the Bible? More persecution, the more you abound. More sufferings, the more you abound. That's why our church has had good momentum, because there was a lot of persecution initially to begin with. There's a lot of people who didn't want this church to start. A lot of people trying to discourage you from coming to this church. Trying to discourage me from even being a part of starting the church. It was just day after day, week after week, month after month. But you know what it did? It just made us stronger. Yep. Look at Acts chapter 4, and this is always going to happen, in verse 13. And when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves, saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all of them that dwell in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. You know what this reminds me of? It's just like, what are we going to do about this church in Omani? It's like, obviously, it's notable that they're seeing people saved. Obviously, it's notable that they're growing spiritually. We can't deny it. But you know what their attitude is? But we still got to stop it. Because they don't want the second generation to know that you can be like us and grow. Right? Verse 17, but that it spread no further among the people, let us straightly threaten them, that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. So it's like, let's stop them. Let's go ahead and just threaten them. And let me just do a public service announcement. Threatenings only causes us to go deeper. Yeah. When Hophni and Phinehas threatened us, you just like made the guys more excited. When these reprobates that we threw out started threatening, they're going to come. Oh, by the way, the new one is they're coming on August 9th for the ordination. We're going to see what you guys are going to do on August 9th when we come down there and see them. that just makes us stronger. That just gets the heart racing a little faster. He said, what do you mean by that? It causes us to pray more, to depend on God more. And you know what? It bands us together more as well. It draws us closer to one another because we're backing each other up. Amen? For we cannot but speak the things, or I'm sorry, what verse am I in? Verse 18, and they called them and commanded them not to speak at all, nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So this church's momentum was built on persecution, but also visible results. When people begin to see the works that are done, it encourages you. When you see that people are being baptized, you know what that does? That encourages you. Like, wow, people are getting baptized. That's great. It's like, amen. This is a church. Amen. Where you baptize people. Wow, you see, wow, you guys see all these people saved. Yeah, that's a church. That's what we're supposed to do. And that's like, wow, this is real. This actually exists. An unapologetic, distinct preaching. Skip some verses here. So what can we do, what can hinder momentum? We got good momentum, but what can hinder it? Because we got to be realistic about this, right? We're not just invincible, unstoppable. We're not like the best church that has ever, you know, shown the face of the planet in Los Angeles. You know, we're not like something special in that regard because of the fact that things can still hinder us. We're still susceptible to hindrances. We still have enemies. And look, one of them is pride. Don't ever allow pride to creep into you as an individual or us as a church, where you begin to think that you're better than any other churches, let's say in our movement. Don't ever let that come out of your mouth. And I've heard that, you know, sneakily done every once in a while. That stops today. We're not in competition with any of the churches in our movement. The churches in our movement are our friends. They're helping us to grow, and we're helping them. You say, how do you do that? By recommending the churches. Amen?
Amen.
Recommending their preaching. And we never want to have this attitude that we're just like, now look, I think this is the best church on the face of the planet because I have a bias towards it because this is my church. But you know, there's the greatest church in the world is all over the United States as well, though. And the people who are up north at Verity, at Tempe, at Mountain Baptist Church, to them, that's the greatest church, and it should be the greatest church. Pride can derail us. Outside forces can hinder the momentum. You know, if you are driving a car, you say, how do I slow down the momentum of a vehicle? Well, you crash. There you go. You hit a wall. Then you don't go anywhere. Right? So that's one way. Or, so that's something on the outside, right? A wall that you hit on the outside will hinder you and can stop the momentum of a church, of a vehicle, for example. But you know what else stops or slows down the momentum? Is someone on the inside hitting the brakes. And sometimes the force on the outside can just stop it immediately. But you know what? The person or the individual within the vehicle can slow it down gradually. You just tap on the brakes every little by little. And to be quite honest with you, there's nothing on the outside as far as our enemies are concerned that can actually hinder us, because that draws us closer, right? I'm going to talk about a different wall in a little bit, but people on the inside can hinder our church. The way a church can be destroyed, the way a church can be slowed down, is by the individuals found within the church. This is one reason why we practice church discipline. This is one reason why we practice 1 Corinthians chapter 5. This is one reason why we practice Matthew 18. Why? Because we don't want anybody to hinder the work of God. When Miriam, in the Old Testament, decided to talk trash against Moses, she had leprosy. She had to go outside of the camp for 7 days, and they could not move until she was cleansed. In like manner, if you're in here and you know you're doing something to hinder the work of the Lord, you hinder the rest of the church. You know? How can you hinder the rest of the church? By criticizing the leadership, you hinder the church. Oh, you know, I just don't agree with you on some things. Then here are your two options. Leave or leave. And the third option would be just keep your opinions to yourself when it comes to that. Because we want to make sure that the church keeps that momentum going. And if you attack the leadership, it's going to slow down the momentum. You know, false doctrine could slow it down if no one says anything about it. Infiltrators that go unnoticed can sometimes hinder it. Criticizing anything of the church can hinder the momentum of the church. So here's the thing. Don't hit the brakes. I think we're going too fast. Don't worry about it. You're not in the driver's seat. Just enjoy the ride. And take advantage of that momentum. I'm a little scared. Are you gonna drift? Well, you know, if we have to take a right turn, yeah, then I don't want to slow down. I'll just drift around that corner and just do it. That just seems to, you know, I like it. Us four, no more. That's not, then you're in the wrong church. You know, enjoy the church now. So when it grows, and I believe it's going to keep growing. Amen. I think it's going to grow beyond our expectations. Yep. And when it does, you need to be ready for that. Oh, I just think the church has gotten too big. And I just, you know, there's too many people. I don't know everybody. And I just don't know what to do. Well, typically, when that happens, it's because you're actually not going out of your way to meet new people in the church. That's what it is. You're expecting everyone to come to you. Whereas what you need to do is actually go out and meet somebody in the church. Say hi, get to know them, etc. So in the spiritual realm, it's often that which is on the inside that actually hinders us. Go to Galatians chapter number 5. I'll read to you from Hebrews chapter number 12. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we are also compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us." So the Bible tells us we have to lay aside every weight, right? We got to lay aside the sin that doth so easily besets us. It basically hinders us. It compasses us. In order to be effective, these are the things that we need to do. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 6. "For in Christ, in Jesus Christ, neither circumcision availeth anything, nor uncircumcision, but faith which worketh by love. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? This persuasion cometh not of him that calleth you." So what do we see there? We see that the churches in Galatia had good momentum. How do we know that? Because it says, ye did run well. And then he said, who did hinder you? You say, well, brother, I thought he said there's only people on the inside. Yeah, well, these Judaizing false teachers were infiltrating the church and slowing them down. And look, this is gonna be a constant thing throughout the lifespan of our church. Infiltrators are gonna come, bozos are gonna come, idiots are gonna come, and we just need our due diligence to make sure that when we're lapping the water, right, that we're vigilant to look out for these things. And come let me know if there's an infiltrator of the church, and we'll deal with it, right? Go with me, if you would, go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. Momentum. We have good momentum. We don't have good AC, but we have good momentum. You're like, well, I knew you didn't have good AC. We're working on the AC, right? Everyone, like, we're about to fly away because there's so many people, like, fanning themselves. We need to take advantage of good momentum. And look, if you're new in our church, a new family, take advantage of the good momentum that we have. You know, take advantage to be faithful to church. Hey, why don't you go outside of what you typically do and start coming to all the services? Here's a good one. You know, a lot of you individuals got good momentum, you know when? At the Red Hot Preaching Conference. You see, the Red Hot Preaching Conference is not just for entertainment. It's to hit you where it hurts. To get you to move. To give you some momentum. To say, man, I got some decisions I need to make, amen? You say, well, what sermon are you talking about? Hey, how about Going to Church with All Thy Might by Pastor Shelley? That was a good sermon. That was my favorite sermon. That was every pastor's favorite right there, amen? hey, you had some good momentum at the Red Hot Preaching Conference. Don't just say, hey, that was entertaining. Say, all right, that propelled me forward. It's time to make some good decisions and implement them and stick with them. Let conferences like that make you a better Christian. Why not? Right? Preaching is enjoyable. Yes, it's entertaining, but it's edifying as well. And that edification is meant to build you up, to propel you forward, to help you to go forward. That's good momentum. Don't just put it on cruise control right now and say, well, we'll wait in like 3 months, you know, or we'll wait till 2020 and at January 1st, we're going to just make all the right decisions and implement everything. No, do it now. Amen. If you don't do it now, you'll never do it. You'll never do it. So how do we maintain momentum? We have momentum in our church. How do we maintain it? Let me give you a couple things here and I'm done. Number one, by recognizing a lid is not a stop sign, but a growth sign. Now you say, what do you mean by a lid? Well, we have a couple guys here that lift, right? Raise your hand if you lift. Okay, all right. There's something called when you lift for a certain amount of time and you what? Plateau, yep. Right? It's like there's a time when you couldn't lift a certain amount, but now you can. And the temptation is just to stick to that, right? But you know what happens when you just stick to that? You plateau and you no longer grow,
right?
Right? So what do you have to do? So that's almost like it's like you're doing it, you're still sweating, you're working your muscles, but you go home and you still look scraggly. You're like, man, my chest is not getting bigger, my biceps are not big, and my traps, and blah, 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 blah. I just don't look the way I want it to look, because you've plateaued. Yeah. Now, here are your two options. Stop working out because you think it doesn't work, right? Or you actually have to put more weight. Because
right.
The way you get out of plateauing is by putting on more weight, more plates, right? Yep. So, well, I can't even lift it. Well, that's the point. You have to try to lift things that you can't lift in order to grow in that area, right? Now, here's the thing, as a church or as an individual, well, let's say as a church first. As a church, we will plateau. We will hit a lid. We will reach a point where it's just like, hey, brother, it doesn't seem like we're growing anymore. What's up with that? Like, are we not right with God? You know, are people just, what's going on? It's called a lid. You hit a lid. You plateaued. Now, this is what the plateauing doesn't mean. It doesn't mean, well, I guess we're doing things wrong, so we got to switch the way we preach. We can't do door-to-door soul winning, so let's just stick to evangelistic services. You know, let's open up a bus ministry and just bus in 50 kids and not even check on their salvation list with the numbers. This is all about the numbers. That's not what that means. Plateauing is not a stop sign. It's a growth sign. So what does that mean? It means, okay, we've hit our potential in this chapter of our lives. It's time to flip the page. And work a little harder, put a little more weight on the bar, spar with someone who is a seasoned boxer or a kickboxer if you want to be better. You know, it's not fun when you get into a kickboxing match with someone who's just as good as you because you're not going to grow. You actually have to spar with someone who's better than you, who punches harder, kicks harder, is faster if you want to grow. That's true in jiu-jitsu, is it not? If you want to grow as a jiu-jitsu practitioner, if you're a white belt, you have to go with the blue belts and the purple belts. If you want to get better. Oh, I just feel like I plateaued. Okay, then it's time to put more weight on the bar. That's all it means. Look at 2 Corinthians 8. Verse 1, it says, moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the churches of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy and their deep poverty abounded into the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power, they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of the ministering to the saints. You say, what are we trying to do when we hit that lid? Go beyond our power. Like, I don't know if I can do that. Well, you know what? Maybe as an individual you can't, but as a church we can. We can add more weight and help you along. I mean, when you lift weights, like let's say you bench press, you experts out there, when you bench press. If you lift heavier weight, doesn't it help when you have a spotter even put two fingers below the bar or something? When they're like, and you just like, you just tap it. For some reason, it helps. I don't know if it's like black magic or voodoo. I don't know what it is, but it does help, right? Well, in like manner, if you're not ready for that extra weight, just push. And the members will just kind of help you along. Amen. And you know what? Give it a couple months, give it a couple weeks, and you'll be able to lift that weight just fine. Amen. Okay? Beyond your power. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 1:8, you don't have to turn there. We would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure, above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul's saying, man, I felt like we were dying. But you know what? Except the corn of wheat fall to the ground and die, it abideth alone. But once it falls and it dies, it brings forth much fruit. So in order to get beyond that lid, in order to get beyond that plateauing, we just got to put more weight. And look, we're not plateauing right now. Amen? We're still growing. I'm just preparing you for when we do plateau. Because it will happen. And that's not a time to get critical. And that's not a time, oh, what's going on? And start complaining. You know what I'm going to tell you? Time to put more weight. Time to go to the uttermost parts of the world. Time to create new ideas, new films, new soul winning areas. Time to do more is what we need to do. Because we hit a plateau. We've reached the potential of where we're at. It's time to go beyond that. Okay? But here's the thing. You don't have to worry about plateauing because of this. There's something called the law of conservation of momentum. Has anybody ever heard of that? Okay, we got one, two. Does anybody know what that means? Aha, less hands. Just kidding. I've heard of it, I don't know what it means. So, in a nutshell, basically what this law means is that when an object that has momentum hits another object, the first object will stop. However, the object that it hits takes on the momentum of the previous object. You understand? So let me give you an example. In pool, if anybody ever plays pool, that's a perfect example right there. When you hit the white ball to hit the eight ball, the white ball will stop. But you know what the eight ball will do? Go into the center pocket. And it picks up the momentum of the previous object. So what does that have to do with anything? Well, when we as a church hit that plateau, we need to recognize the law of conservation of momentum. We hit one, but you know what? It's only going to propel us to the next level. And we take on that same momentum and we apply it in a bigger realm. Anybody play baseball? Okay, got a couple here. I'm not a baseball expert, but I do know this, is that they teach people who play baseball, I'm left-handed, that's why I'm standing like this, right? When they hit the baseball, that when you hit the ball, you don't just stop the bat. You're actually supposed to swing through the ball because of the law of conservation of momentum. It'll actually go further if you just swing through the ball instead of stopping at impact. You understand that? So in like manner, when we hit that plateau, it's not like, okay, we're just going to take a break for like a year. We'll just take a 6-month break. We'll just slow it down a little bit. Swing through it, amen? Amen. Swing through the plateau. Swing through the plateau in your personal life. I just feel like I'm plateauing as a Christian. Swing through that thing. Amen. Go through it. Don't see it as a stop sign. It's a growth sign. Amen. Crack that thing out of the park. Swing through it. Do it. Because the law of conservation of momentum is on your side. And if we're going to go beyond what we are right now, we have to realize that when we hit a plateau, we need to hit it hard. And just plow right through it. Amen. And you know what's going to happen? The new phase of our church thereafter, when we plateau, it's going to be more greater things are going to happen. Amen. And we are entering into a new phase of our church. Okay, we're not plateauing yet, but we're entering into a new phase. Let's keep this momentum going, amen? We got to grow the individuals that make up the church, press forward, and forget those things which are behind. All right? So what's the sermon for today? It's simply this. FWVCLA has good momentum. Don't criticize it. Go along with it. Use it to your personal individual advantage. Get around the Christians who are on fire for God if you're not, and allow that to rub off on you. I'm just not excited about soul winning. Then you need to stick around after service and get into some conversations, and in about 20 minutes, you'll get excited about soul winning. Because you'll be around people who are excited about soul winning. And recognize this, don't look at a plateau as a stop sign. When we hit that plateau, it's going to propel us forward as long as we swing all the way through. You understand? This is a new chapter, amen? We got good momentum. Let's keep it. Let's maintain it and thank God for it. Let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And thank you for the good momentum that you've given to us. And I pray that you'd help us to maintain it, continue to grow us as a church, as individuals, as soul winners. Help us to continue to reach more people, Lord. And may you use us greatly as a church to bring honor and glory to your name, but also to see a lot of people saved. May we be able to do a great work for thee. And I pray, God, that your favor would continue to be with us, that you would use us and be pleased with us as well. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.